Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. On today's episode, I am sharing all of the varieties of things that I am growing in the 2024 garden. This was a requested episode after polling people on Instagram, so I hope that it's helpful for you. I know that you're probably already starting seeds and you've probably already bought your seeds, but sometimes I think it's nice just to hear about what other people are doing, what they're thinking about, what they maybe have to struggle with. I know that's some of the reasons that I have the specific varieties that I have. So hopefully this episode is helpful. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. All right, so the way that I am structuring this episode today is that the first half, I'm going to talk about my cool weather crops and the specific varieties that I'm growing. I'll hit herbs as well. And then for the second half, I will do my warm weather crops. Now, I do want to warn you, I currently have some bread in the oven right now. So if the timer goes off, I'm going to have to stop recording and I will come back. But that is life. So, gosh, right now in front of me, I have my seed box. And so you might hear me ruffling through there. But anyways, I'm going to be going in alphabetical order. That's because that's how my seed box is organized. So first thing that I have is arugula. And so I should add, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, salads are like our biggest thing. And so that is why I have a pocket in my seed storage box that is just for arugula. I should also say here too that most of my seeds that I will be talking about today are from Johnny's, okay? So basically, if I don't say where it's from, then it's from Johnny's. So first off is arugula. I have the Astro Organic arugula from Johnny's. I have bought this before. It's done well. It does bolt, but I do think that it takes a decent amount of time for it to bolt. And honestly, we don't mind the super spiciness of arugula, but this has just been an all around good one. Like actually this packet that I have here is bigger than like your average one. It's probably like the next size up for Johnny's just because I go through arugula so much. So that is definitely a repurchase there. Next on my list here are beets. Okay, so beets, we really like beets. I like cool weather things, as you know. Beets are one of those. I have a big mix, I'm not gonna lie. Last year, our beets, they didn't do the best, and that's just because, again, we had major soil issues. So my kind of philosophy going into this year is that the stuff that I tried last year, if it didn't work, I'm not like blaming it on the seed. I am blaming it on my soil. So a lot of these seed packets that I have in front of me here, especially for beets, are ones that are from last year. So like right here, I have Touchstone Gold, that is from Johnny's. I have Avalanche, that is a white beet. I also have Early Wonder Tall Tops, and that's actually from True Leaf Market. I have Hybrid Round Red Beets. It is a variety called Moneta. And then I have another one that is called Merlin. I guess my stance on the colored beets is that they're pretty, but I definitely can say that the red beets for us and the gold beets, they generally work out better. These white ones didn't really do much. I've also tried, I think they're called Shiogia. Those are like the stripy ones, like the red and white stripes. Those didn't do well for me. So this year, another like philosophy that I'm taking into 2024 is that I am just kind of going back to the basics, because I've learned a lot in these past couple years, and especially because last year my soil was crap. Again, I cannot blame it on the seeds that I was trying. So like, I'm trying to go back to basics. And so that's why for this year I did order brand new Moneta and Merlin. Those are both two just typical red round beet, nothing crazy. And then I'm basically just using up those colored ones from last year because I have the seeds. So that is it for beets. Sorry, you're going to hear me ruffling around. This is definitely not going to sound like a normal podcast episode. Next is broccoli. I have two varieties here in my hand. One is a mini broccoli, so it's a branching broccoli. And this one, I don't know, it's some hybrid. It's BC1611F1. This, if I remember correctly, I bought this kind of at the beginning of my gardening journey, and broccoli is just a lot harder to grow than I thought. So this one, I have used it as an experiment. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that I did some kind of experimentation with super, super early seed starting and then transplanting them purposely undercover. Once we got past our Persephone period, meaning that we had over 10 hours of sunlight. So in theory, baby broccoli or branching broccoli or broccolini, whatever you want to call it, those mature quicker just because they're not making a full head. And so I use the leftovers of these seeds for that experiment. So far, they just still look like little broccoli plants, like nothing special. But of course, it's just now the beginning of March when I'm recording this, and it's still been cold. So that's all that I'm doing with that. But then for my main crop broccoli, I am using the hybrid Monty from Johnny's. This is the same one that I used last year, and I definitely did get some small broccoli crowns. So with the fact that I had shit soil, I'm really hoping that this year, when my soil is better, that this hybrid broccoli Monty will do even better. All right, next up is cabbage. So the way I organize my seeds, cabbage can also be, it can be like your typical cabbage, but I also have Napa cabbage in here. And then I also have pak choy in this section. So let's start with pak choy, because pak choy, they're delicious. We adore them, but I have not found a variety yet that has worked for me where I get like a cute little pak choy. The way that we love to have pak choy is we will cut it in half and grill it, and we will also have some grilled or seared tuna. So when you're grilling it like that, it's kind of nice to have the little baby ones. And so, as I said, I have had trouble trying to get little baby broccoli or baby pak choy. Now, the other thing that I'm bad at, though, and that I'm guilty of, is thinking that the plant is going to get bigger, but then I let it get too hot and then it bolts. So this year I'm going to try to just harvest them. And even if they are itty bitty, whatever, we can throw them on the grill whole. So with all that said, I am reusing some seeds from last year, and one of these packets, it's from True Leaf Market. It's an old one, and it just says pak choy cabbage, so nothing special there. Now, I have tried a variety from Johnny's before, and it's called Li Ren Choy, but again, I bought this for last year. I still had leftovers, and so I am just using them up. This year, I really tried to just use the seeds again that I had from last year, because I'm not blaming it on the seeds. Last year, I was thinking, ooh, if I choose like the specific variety of whatever, it might solve all my problems. No, it was my soil. So anyways, back to cabbage. I have two varieties of cabbage that I'm doing this year. One is Tiara, and this one is from Johnny's. This is a specific hybrid that was supposed to be a small cabbage head and a quickly maturing one. This is one that I did use last year, and I did get some mini heads from it, but of course, cabbage is heavy feeders, and because my soil was so bad, I do have hope that this one will do well this year. So this is kind of in that same camp of that broccoli, that Monty hybrid. Like, they did well enough last year with my terrible soil that I really have high hopes for them this year. So that is Tiara cabbage. Because you have to remember too, it's just me and my husband. So we don't need like massive heads of cabbage. So this is a smaller variety. And then the other one that I'm going to be growing kind of just for shits is Golden Acre. This is supposed to be a storage cabbage variety. And I actually bought this from True Leaf Market back like the first year that I tried to grow most of our food. So these seeds are pretty old. Again, this is supposed to be a storage cabbage variety, so it will get bigger. I'm basically just starting a few just to see what happens. And then the last thing that I'm trying to grow again is Napa cabbage. I've tried growing this for like 2 or 3 years. The variety that I'm trying again this year is called Bilko. This is again a hybrid from Johnny's Bilko F1. It's an organic seed, and this is kind of in the same camp as the Pak Choi. I always hope that it's going to get bigger, and then it doesn't. So I don't know. I might just have to harvest it early and go from there. So those are the varieties of cabbage that I am trying this year. Next are carrots. Okay, so we are continuing with our cool weather things. So carrots, I had great luck in the fall of the previous year, and I had okay luck in spring of this year. But again, my soil was terrible. So when it comes to carrots, some of the purple carrots I have discovered, I just don't think that they really have much flavor. I love sweet carrots. I love baby carrots. And so I want my carrots to taste really good. So I guess this is in similar camp of beets. I want to go just back to the basics. Just give me some orange carrots that taste really good. So I am using up though some of the old carrots that I have, and like the colorful ones, I mean. So deep purple, that is one that I have left over from last year, and so that's why I'm going to throw a few in the ground. And then the three varieties, or let me see, the two varieties I think that I am experimenting with this year are from Johnny's. I have Napoli F1, and then I have Sugar Snacks 54 F1. So these are both hybrids, and they were just supposed to be very good storage and also very good sweetness. So those are the carrots that I will be experimenting with. And let's see, next will be cauliflower. Give me a second to get those out of my box. And actually, I just have one variety that I'm growing here. This is another seed variety, or another variety that I picked for last year that did okay. Just like the broccoli, I got some heads. They were small. And I unfortunately, though, I didn't pick them early enough and they got attacked by bugs. So I am growing Early Snow F1. This is another one that is very, very cold hardy. Well, more cold hardy than typical cauliflower, at least. And this is also a smaller variety. I'm going to try it again because, like I said, it worked decently last year. So hopefully now with our hopefully better soil, it will work this year. All right, next is endive. Endive is one of those things that I like a little bit of it in our salads because I do like that bitterness. I always, though, grow way too much. And so I just need to remember, Laura, you don't need so much of it. So I'll probably plant just one strip of it. But anyways, the variety that I do like is called Clodia, and that is again from Johnny's. This is the same seed packet as last year, nothing special. But I guess nothing new for me is what I should say. This Clodia variety of endive, though, what I like about it is that it's a pretty lime green, and then it's very, very frilly. And so it looks pretty. It definitely is bitter, and especially if you let the plant get too mature, it will be extra bitter. But it is pretty darn good. It gives a good flavor and texture to your salads. So next here, head lettuce. You know, I'm honestly not even going to talk about that because I don't know if I'm going to use these seeds as head lettuce. One of the discoveries that I made this past summer is that I was successfully able to grow baby greens throughout the entire summer. That is because I use shade cloth to do so. Because of that, I honestly don't think I'm going to grow much head lettuce. Who knows? I would maybe try growing an iceberg again just because, I don't know, it's kind of novelty for us. But the reality is, we like leaf lettuce so much more. So most likely all of these seeds that are in these packets, I'm just going to be dumping into my blend that I have. But anyways, I will take the time to mention that iceberg lettuce. I have tried growing this multiple times. It's Crispino lettuce, but I really think that just heading lettuce, it's kind of hard to do. So that's another reason why I like leaf lettuce better. So anyways, I guess we'll go past those for now. All right. Herbs. This is a big category, obviously. Some of these are going to be cool weather. Some of these are going to be warm weather. So I'm going to take out my huge packet here. All right. First thing that I pulled out is parsley. The parsley variety that I will be growing is Giant of Italy. I got this one for last year, and I got it from Johnny's. I love parsley. I also love how barely anything eats it. The thing is, though, parsley is a biennial, meaning that it lasts a long time in your garden. That's great. It also means that it doesn't bolt in that first year. Another great thing. But what I'm saying, though, is that you like need to know where you want your parsley to be because that's where it's going to be for that entire year. This year, I am going to try growing it in a different location in my garden. I am not going to, quote unquote, waste the space of my raised beds just because the parsley, although it takes so long to germinate, once it does get going, it just keeps going and going and growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so because of that, I'm going to use some of my in-ground space for it. But again, the variety that I'm using is Giant of Italy. Savory. Okay. This is one that I don't think I ended up using last year. I think I tried starting it and then I just kind of forgot about it. So that means that I will be trying again this year. The variety that I have is called Compact Summer Savory. That is from Johnny's. And to be honest with you, savory and also the next one, marjoram, Those are ones that I will probably like be growing with the intent of drying. So I have Compact Summer Savory and then marjoram. I just have the organic sweet marjoram from Johnny's. I did discover last year that the marjoram and also the sage, let me get to that one here. Those, I planted them specifically around my cabbage to try to prevent cabbage moth from coming. And I think it did pretty well. So I will be doing that tactic again. So I have sweet marjoram and then common sage, the organic version from Johnny's. There's nothing really special to them. I don't think Johnny's has a ton of options there. Oh, there's my timer. I will be right back. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment, that helps you prioritize areas of your life like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months, with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you. Whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with a link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. Good news. I think that's going to be a good loaf of bread. Anyways, back to the seeds. So I just mentioned the sage. Now I am on to Mexican mint. Okay, this is not actually mint. If I remember correctly, let me look at it. This one I think is supposed to be like tarragon. Tarragon is an herb that I thought would be pretty cool to grow. I'm not super familiar with the taste, but I figured, you know, might as well. Because herbs don't take up too much space, you know? But tarragon, true tarragon, is something that you have to grow from a, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the word, but like a cutting of another plant. Last year, I did try to get tarragon from a local farmer where I do buy some of our other plant starts. And unfortunately, they didn't have good success that year with tarragon, so I thought, well, let me try growing it from seed. But again, as I said, it's hard to do it from seed, true tarragon. Now, Johnny's website said that this Mexican mint marigold tastes similar, and so I bought it. So that's an herb. Next thing here is cilantro. Okay, cilantro and me, I don't know about you, but I feel like the last times that I've been trying to grow cilantro, it just ends up tasting soapy. And I know that I don't have that gene because I have never thought until recently that the cilantro tastes funny. I really think that it has to do with the pH of our soil and just the fact that it didn't grow very well. So I have tried so many different varieties of cilantro. The one that I have right now is from True Leaf Market. And it is Leisure Splits. This is a variety where the whole cilantro, because if you've seen a cilantro seed or coriander, you know that it's like a little ball. This variety, it's already been split in half, and supposedly that is supposed to help with its germination rate. So that is what I have for cilantro. And then in terms of basil, I guess let's get into that one next. I have four here that I am growing. I will say that one of them, the Thai basil, I have sweet Thai organic basil from Johnny's. This one I grow just because it's pretty, honestly. I personally think that the Thai basil, it goes to flower quicker than the other ones, and I don't really notice a difference in the taste. Maybe you do, but I don't, and I don't have a need for it enough to really, you know, to really warrant growing it, but I have the seeds, so I'm going to grow it again. I know that you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, but anyways. Next, I have purple basil. I have amethyst improved variety from Johnny's. I do think that this one does very well. I think the flavor is good too. For just my general green basil, I have Elidia organic. This one is supposedly like resistant to some sort of like fungus or something. It worked well for me in the past, and so I'm just going to continue using my seeds from last year. And then another basil that I really love is Mrs. Burns lemon basil. from Johnny's. This stuff is delicious. I adore the flavor. Unfortunately, I do think it is one of those that does tend to go to flour a little bit quicker than others, but the flavor is fantastic. It is so strong. Like the lemon is so strong, which for me, that's a good thing. I just adore it. So that is it for the herbs. Gosh, this is going to be a long episode. Okay, give me a second here. Herbs, put those back. Next is kohlrabi. Okay, here I have just one variety of kohlrabi. I've tried growing red kohlrabi, and actually, this goes back to the cabbage conversation. I have tried growing purple or red varieties of both cabbage and kohlrabi for the past 2 years, and I never have success with them. They never form heads. They do not grow well for me. And so this year I said, you know what? I'm just going to grow only the green ones because they're what work better for me. So I have early white Vienna variety of kohlrabi. They did do well for me last year, and so that's why I'm growing them again. No, this is from True Leaf Market. Early white Vienna kohlrabi. Did you hear that? My Alexa was talking to me and I wasn't talking to her. Man, this is just a strange podcast episode. Sorry. Okay, let's move on to leaf lettuce. I am not super particular when it comes to leaf lettuce. I do have the All-Star Gourmet lettuce mix from Johnny's. I like doing the mixes just because it's easy. You get a mix of red and green and crunchiness and loftiness to your salad. I just think it's easier that way to do a mix. But as I said, though, those head lettuce seeds, if I don't end up doing head lettuce this year, I'm just going to toss them in that mix. So again, I'm really not too particular there. All right, mustards. Now, these are some things that I'm definitely particular about. So mustard greens, just like the endive, the frisée, and the arugula, we love those in our salads. And I have found two varieties that I love from Johnny's. The first one is called wasabina. Yes, kind of like wasabi. This is a bright green, super frilly mustard green. And yes, it does get pretty darn spicy, but it is wonderful. I really, really like it. Now, if you are not too into the super spicy mustards, then I would try the next one, which is Ms. America. It's M-I-Z America. And I'm going to put, I think I'll go ahead and put all of the names of these in the show notes. I'm not sponsored by Johnny's, by the way. Anyways, Ms. America. This one is a purple mustard, and it's really mild, actually. Like, really mild. Like, it's probably closer to lettuce in taste, I think, than it is to mustard. And it's not even, like, close to arugula. It's just mild. So that's another one. It's also very pretty because it is purple, so it adds some good contrast to your salad. So, onions, I'm going to have to go and get my list. I used up all of my yellow onion seeds in my seeding, so I'll have to remember to get that for you. The red onion that I am doing this year is called Cabernet F1. This is from Johnny's, and this is supposed to be a decently good storage red onion, so I don't know. We'll see. It's the one that I tried growing last year, but last year I did a stupid experiment when I listened to nobody's advice, and I tried to direct sow onions outside here in Ohio. It didn't work. So this year I am growing them from seed, but inside they're already in my basement, and the Cabernet, I'm already seeing that pretty red color in the seedlings downstairs. And then in terms of green onions, we absolutely adore them. I will be honest here, on my seed packet, I scratched out white spear and I just wrote big mix because I basically just put all of my green onions into one packet and just threw them all together because I never really noticed a difference with any of them. So one of them is white spear. But yeah, that's really all I can tell you. So I'll get back to those yellow onions later. All right, peas. That's another cool weather thing. And these are the big seed packets. I have to go to another section. Okay. I have two different types of peas that I am growing, and that is because one of them is a snow pea and one of them is a snap pea. The snow peas, those are the flat ones. Those are my preferred, honestly, but my husband likes the snap peas too. So in terms of snow peas, I am using Avalanche from Johnny's, and then the snap peas, I am using Sugar Snap from Johnny's. I grew both of these last year. They had great flavor. They grew very, very well, and I still have a ton of seeds in these packets. Obviously, though, because they are a year old, I am going to probably have to grow more or sow more, but I will get there. All right. Continuing on to some more cool weather things are radishes. So radishes, similar to the beets and the carrots, I have discovered that the best ones for us are just the most basic ones. And so that is why I have in my hand a packet of normal radishes and then another bag where I just threw a bunch of crap together. So the typical radishes that I have, I am using Sora. This is an organic seed from Johnny's. It's just your typical round radish. And then I have a colorful mix. That's what I called this little baggie here. It has a mix of daikon radishes. It probably, if I remember correctly, it has some red meat radishes from Johnny's that I tried last year. It probably also has some watermelon radishes. But again, the ones that work the best for me are just your typical ones. That is kind of like my motto for the year. Just go with the basics and see what happens. And so I'll throw these around just wherever. But the colorful ones, again, they're not my priority this year. The spinach that I am growing this year that is already seeded is called Lizard. This is a smooth leaf spinach. I don't know. I chose Lizard. I honestly don't remember why I chose that one, but all right, turnips. This is another place where I am pretty picky about the ones that I grow. So I tried originally just your average purple top turnip, and they're fine. You know, they're okay. But the problem, I think, with the really big radish or the really big turnips and the really big beets is that the longer they are in the soil to get that big, the more apt they are to be eaten by bugs. And so I personally like the smaller ones better. So I do have some purple top turnips that I'll probably throw in the ground just because, but just to get rid of the seeds, to be honest with you, but they're not my favorite. So the next two, though, I really love. So first are Hakuri turnips from Johnny's. These are so mild, so sweet, honestly, and they are small. They are white, and they look kind of like little golf balls, and they are so good. This is a kind of turnip that you could easily just slice and put in a salad. They are that soft. I love these. I found out about these from a CSA. I had no idea what a turnip was, to be honest with you. But these Hakuri turnips, they're so, so good. So soft. I think that they grow very well. I think they're pretty darn easy to grow again because they do not have to get to that big size. And then the next turnip are Scarlet Queen Red Stems. I adore this variety. I have repurchased this seed. This is again from Johnny's. I think that this one is pretty darn easy to grow too. They don't get too big, but what's so pretty about them is that they are red inside. They're also red on the outside too, but they are just a very, very pretty turnip. This one definitely has your more typical turnip texture, meaning that it's just a little bit more firm. Because I do like turnips, I would eat it raw, but it's definitely not as soft as the Hakuri turnips. So if you are new to turnips, I would probably roast them. They do get that very earthy, semi-spicy flavor of a radish, even when they are roasted. But that red color, it makes them look very, very pretty. So, okay, I think that is all for the cool weather crops. Because I had to take that bread break, I guess I'm just going to go into the warm weather crops. So, let's go back through my box. Cucumbers. Oh boy. Okay, cucumbers last year did not go well at all. Our first year growing cucumbers, we had great success. I did not grow those myself. I did buy those as plants from that farm that I mentioned before. I don't remember what kind they were. I'm assuming they were market more just because that is like your most normal cucumber. Last year, I decided to grow some super special hybrid that didn't have to be pollinated. It's called a parthenocarpic variety of cucumber. And I just was not happy with it at all. The cucumbers did terribly last year, and I was so upset about it because I love cucumbers. Like, even when you are overrunning cucumbers, I do not get sad, okay? Like, cucumbers and zucchinis are like the things that people can get easily overwhelmed by in their garden. I don't get overwhelmed by cucumbers. I just love them so much. So this year, I am not growing. It's in my hand right now. I am not growing the variety that I grew last year. Last year, I grew a pickling cucumber that is a hybrid. It's called H19 Little Leaf. It was supposed to be a small plant, compact plant that had little leaves. That way you could find the cucumbers easily. It was, but I got terrible cucumbers from it. Again, though, my soil was terrible. So is it the seed's fault? No. But this year I did decide to go back to more of your typical cucumbers. So first off is Market More. I mentioned that one that I'm pretty sure that's one of the varieties that I bought from transplants a few years ago. I'm going to try it again on my own, Market More. And another one that I got is Supremo. That is I'm guessing it's a pickling cucumber. I'm thinking that was another mistake that I made last year. I grew only pickling cucumbers because I thought, well, I still like the taste of pickling cucumbers raw. But this year I thought, you know, I do kind of miss those typical slicing cucumbers. So that is what the Market More is. It's a slicing cucumber. And then that Supremo, I'm pretty sure is a pickling cucumber, or it might be a long skinny one. I don't know. I should have looked that up. I'm sorry. I will link to it though. And then the last one I bought on a whim, and it is a salt and pepper cucumber. Now, I have had these before. This is something that I was introduced by from our CSAs in the past. I love these. They're a very, very pale yellow, almost white cucumber. And they're just very, very pretty and very mild. And also they're kind of sour actually on their own, which I like. And so my theory here was that I know what this cucumber is supposed to be like. So because I know that, it can be a good test to see if my cucumbers are growing well or not. All right, going through here to find more warm weather items. Oh. All right, next are peppers. Okay, peppers. Last year, I tried to grow peppers from saved seeds from the year before. It didn't really work. Well, I had some issues with my seed saving. I kept them down in my basement, and a mouse or something must have gotten to them and mixed them all up. And so I really didn't have many of my saved seeds. The only saved seed that I am growing this year are my jalapenos. And that's honestly because we only need one jalapeno plant. We are not super spicy people. And so one plant is plenty for us. We will be overrun with jalapenos. And so I saved these seeds back in 2022. My plant from last year grew just fine. And so I will be repeating that. All right. The bell peppers that I grew last year are California Wonder Peppers. I actually got these seeds for free, you know, kind of for free, with a green stock purchase. They did okay, and so I'm going to try them again. But then for the other bell peppers, I did decide to experiment a little bit more with peppers this year. The way that I'm going to be organizing my garden, I'm going to have more space for peppers, which I'm excited about. And so I thought, you know, let me experiment. So I did get another red bell pepper. This one is called Ace F1. And actually, I should say those California Wonder Peppers, they did take a while to turn red for me. So those I'm assuming will kind of be my quote unquote green peppers. And then this, the Ace F1 from Johnny's. That is going to be my red bell pepper. And then I also bought Flavor Burst F1 from Johnny's, and that is a yellow bell pepper. So, shishito peppers. This is a plant that I love and was introduced to from our CSAs. Shishito peppers, if you have not had them, they kind of look like an elongated bell pepper, but they are the size of a jalapeno. They are also green like a jalapeno. They are not spicy. If you put them in a super, super hot cast iron pan with some olive oil and you blister them, they are so delicious and they are so soft that you can just eat the whole thing. We eat the seeds. It's delicious. So last year, I tried to grow saved seeds from the year before, and I think that I must have gotten some cross-pollination because these shishito peppers did not look normal. So this year, I decided I'm going to spend the $5 or so and just get a packet of shishito pepper seeds from Johnny's. So I have those. And then the last pepper are banana peppers. And there's my second timer. I will be right back. Sorry. Okay, so banana peppers. I got these seeds from just from Lowe's because last year with those saved seeds that I had, I wanted to save my banana pepper seeds and then it just didn't work out. Those I think were the ones that got eaten by mice and I didn't realize it soon enough. As I said, we are not super spicy people. And so the banana peppers that I grow are just the sweet peppers. Last year, I did not have good luck with them. They didn't work. So I'm hoping that this year I have better luck, but this is just a seed packet that I probably got from Lowe's or Home Depot. It's Ferry Morse organic sweet peppers. So while I was checking on my bread, I did find out the variety of onions, the yellow onions. I am doing Calibra yellow intermediate onions. And I should say that the onions that I am growing here in Ohio, I am doing intermediate day onions. My first year growing onions, or my first year really growing much food, I tried doing long day onions because where we are at our latitude, we are right in the middle, like right on the edge of being able to do intermediate day or long day. The long day, they didn't work, but again, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But after talking to this farmer that lives near us, I learned that they do intermediate day onions, and so that is why I have chosen to do intermediate day onions. So that's the onions there. Next are tomatoes. And then I think after that are beans. That's it. So tomatoes. Tomato talk. Last year, I tried doing some fancy paste tomato variety, some fancy hybrid, just like that fancy cucumber. And they did fine, I guess, but then again, I never have grown paste tomatoes before, and so I don't really know what they're supposed to do. I didn't really think that the flavor of them was all that great, and I thought that they just never really got that red, so I wasn't super impressed with the variety, and that is why this year, I am going back to basics in terms of paste tomatoes. So that is why I am going with San Marzano 2 from Johnny's, and then also Paisano. I hope that they do well. We will see. One is a determinant variety and then one is an indeterminate. I figured that I should try both. That way I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. And so I have those two varieties of paste tomatoes. My goal for these is to make pizza sauce for the year. Hopefully I can do that. And then the next tomato that I will be starting on myself or by myself are cherry red tomatoes. This is another free seed packet that I got from Greenstock. I figured, what the heck, let me try them. But of course, those are not the only tomatoes that we are growing this year. As I have said before, we like a lot of variety. We love slicing tomatoes so much. Like, tomatoes are probably tied, I would say, with salad greens in terms of what is most important to us. But of course, you can't have tomatoes all year. So because we want that variety, we will be buying starts from that farm that I mentioned. They have a ton to pick from because, you know, they're not Home Depot, they're not Lowe's. They have so many varieties. And so I will be picking 5 tomato plants from them to give us some yellows, to give us some reds, to give us some orange, good slicers. So that is the tomato conversation. And then last but not least, I do have more. Don't you love that? You just look through your seed box and all this stuff pops up. Okay, let me get into these random ones that I just found. So I know it sounds crazy, but I have never grown squash before, on purpose, I should say. Last year, we did get a volunteer squash plant, and I was like, sure, you can grow, whatever. It kind of looked, though, like nothing in particular. It looked like kind of like a green zucchini, but then it had a yellow end to it, so it was kind of like a cross between a yellow zucchini, or a yellow squash and a zucchini. And so I did some reading, and apparently, sometimes, when you get cross-pollination of squash like that, you can get something that could be poisonous. And so the way that you find out, supposedly, is you cut off a piece and you lick it. And if it tastes very, very bitter, that's not good. So I tried a little bit of this zucchini thing and it was bitter. And so because of that, I ripped it out, put it in our fire pit. This plant was huge though. But because I did see how well it grew, I was like, all right, let me try some zucchini. And again, the way that I'm reorganizing my garden, I should have some more space for those peppers and also for these squash. So I am doing Spineless Perfection. That is a hybrid from Johnny's. That will be my zucchini. And believe it, I am only planting one because zucchini is not my favorite. And zucchini does so well anyways. I think one plant should be fine. I have also made the decision to not start these inside. I think I'm going to do the same thing with my cucumbers this time too, just because they grow so fast that I'm just going to save the space inside and I'm going to direct seed these. So that is Spineless Perfection. And then the next squash that I'm going to grow is Delicata. This is another vegetable that I was exposed to because of our CSAs in the past. Delicata squash, if you have not had it, this is a winter squash that is so mild, so sweet. It tastes like sweet potatoes. And what I like about it is that because the skin is so thin and so soft, you can eat it. Like you don't have to scrape it out like an acorn squash or anything like that. So I love these. Maybe I'll do two plants. I don't know. Because in the grand scheme of things, squash really isn't our favorite. But then I also decided, screw it, I'm going to try watermelon too. So I guess the one area of my garden where I'm just saying screw it is with squash. Like screw it, try it. But then everything else, I'm being a little bit more reserved in my choices. So I got a baby variety of watermelon. This is a seedless one. I'm pretty sure that I chose diploid. I think that's what that means. Anyways, I got Sugar Baby. So this is a personal sized watermelon, a small one, because I felt, you know, I don't want to wait around for a big ass watermelon. I also don't have the space for a big ass watermelon. So I chose Sugar Baby. Okay, now we are finally to the last thing that I will talk about, and those are beans. Okay, these beans I bought new for this year because last year was the year where I discovered that bush beans work so much better for me than pole beans. In the past, I had been trying to save space by doing pole beans. That way they could grow up the fence of our garden, but I just never really had the best luck. Last year, I got a few seed packets from Lowe's or Home Depot or somewhere of bush beans, and they grew so well. Like so well, even though our soil was terrible. So this year I thought, all right, I am going to, you know, really get some good special seeds here. So I got for my just typical green beans, I got Selene Organic from Johnny's. And then I also like the yellow beans and I chose Goldilocks from them. I don't know how these are going to go because again, they are new to me. But I'm excited and I hope to plant so many bush beans because they're tiny, they are quick, you can get them in and out. And I have also discovered that I really don't mind using frozen green beans. They taste pretty darn good. And then I personally am not a canned green bean lover, but my husband is, and he loved the few that I canned last year. He loved them. And so I figured, well, they'll be good for an easy night every now and then. So, holy crap, this is going to be a long episode. I apologize for the interruptions from my bread, but I do think it turned out well. So, again, I will be putting the links to all of these in the show notes, or at least just the names of everything, just because I probably spoke really quickly. And if you want to, you can go back to the show notes and see all of the varieties that I talked about today. So that is it. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.